Now, it's not that I'm very good at language. I just happen to love languages. And so a number of years ago, I had so much fun in my daily devotions that I would read a scripture in English, and then I would have six other languages that I would read it in. I would read it in German, and I would read it in French, and Creole, and Spanish, and Lithuania, and I picked up this really cute little Swedish Bible. Now, truth be told, I only remember one word out of that Swedish Bible, but that word completely changed how I looked at my relationship with God. I was reading in Psalm 100, and in Psalm 100, which was our call to worship today, it said, "Come into God's presence with singing." Except when you read it in the Swedish, it says, "Come into God's ansikte with singing." Ansikte, the word literally means face. I love this. I love this. Come to God's face with singing. It completely changed the way that I understand my presence with God. It's not enough to simply be in the church. It's not enough to be in the same room. It's not enough to simply say I'm in God's presence. What I learned from that is how to be face to face with God. When I'm with God, I want to be face to face. We hear this inside of 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now it's as if we look in a mirror dimly, but in the future we shall know God face to face." Face to face. This is what is so absolutely crucial. How do we go face to face with God? I'm going to share with you a story today. This is one of my sacred stories. It's simply a story that I have learned how to love and has had deep, deep meaning to me. But I don't know where it came from. And so as I share this with you, if this is a story that you know and you know where it came from, tell me, because I'm trying to find the original. So the year was right around 1942. It was in the middle of World War II, and a young American man, was drafted. He was sent down into Florida for part of his training. And there, somewhere in that St. Augustine area, there was an army base where he was. When it came time for them to have leave, when it was possible for him to get into town, he wouldn't go with the rest of his friends. They would go out and do all the touristy sightseeing things, or maybe they'd go hit the bars at night. But his favorite place to go was down into the public library. And so he would go as early as he could, and he would sit in the public library and read as long as he could, and then he would check out enough books to get him through to the next leave. One time, there was a Saturday when he was down there, he started reading a specific book. It was a book that really grabbed his attention. But as he got into the book, he discovered that one of the people ahead of him had broken the rules and had underlined and written in the book. And he was fascinated by this. The deeper he got into the book, the more he really liked this person. And as he got into it, he discovered that her handwriting, it was definitely a woman's and probably a younger woman. And her thought process was just brilliant, and he loved this book. Eventually, he would go back and actually buy the book and keep it with him. But he was so curious as he was in and with this book and in this topic and with her handwriting and her comments that he decided to try to find out who she was. So the next time he was on leave, he went back to the public library and checked this out. He checked the book out again. Now at this point, I have to take a time out. For those of you in the congregation who are younger than this, I actually need to explain this. Before our libraries were checking out books electronically, you always had on the front cover of the book a pocket. And in the pocket was the library card. And in order to check out the book, you had to sign your signature on that. And each week, each time that the book was checked out, a new signature would go on the card until it was full. Isn't that fun that I have to explain that? Yeah, yeah. But you have to understand this in this part of the story. He went back to the library and checked it out again specifically so that he could see who had signed it. And there, with her handwriting, was her name. He found it. He found out who this woman was. It turns out it was the woman just before him who had checked out the book. So he knew that she was right in the area somewhere. He knew that she was kind of, sort of, in his age bracket. And so he tracked her down. He went into the St. Augustine phone book and was able to identify. He found that name and he found an address. And taking a chance, he wrote a letter to that name at that address and said, "Are you the one who checked out this book? Because I love reading your notes, and I'm all alone down in this area. Would it be okay if we would discuss? Can we write to each other?" And lo and behold, she wrote back to say, "Well, I'd love to." And so thus began a long correspondence between the two. They were not able to meet because very soon after that, he was deployed. He was shipped overseas. And in those days, when you were serving in World War II, you were not there for 1 year. It was not boots on the ground for a year and then back you go home. No, you were there until we were done. And so that meant that he served in that theater for 2.5 years, all the way through World War II, all the way through 1945. And Victory in Europe Day, VE Day came, and the world celebrated. And Victory in Japan Day came, and VJ Day, and they celebrated. And he was shipped home. He was shipped to an army base in the northern part of the United States over toward the eastern coast. And as he came into the country, he wrote her a letter and said, "I would really like to meet you. I'm back." They tried to figure out, was there a way that he could go down to meet her? And the bus schedules and the train schedules did not match. He could not travel the distance down into St. Augustine, spend time with her, and come home. It just wasn't enough time. So they agreed that she would come up from Florida to see him. They agreed on the day. They agreed on the time. They agreed on which train she would take in. But then, in all of their conversations, they had never sent a photograph. She had corresponded with him for 2.5 years, and they never traded photographs. They did not know what the other looked like. And so what they agreed on was that they would each carry something so that they could identify. He would be the young man in uniform carrying, of course, the book. She would in turn be carrying a single red rose. And so on that day, he traveled over to the train station. The train had already arrived by the time he got there, and it was so busy, you couldn't just say, "Look for the guy in uniform." Well, with all of the boys coming home from the war, there were uniforms all over the place. And you couldn't just say, "Look for that young woman." So he went down into the crowd and started wading through the platform. As he went down the stairs toward the platform, as he got down onto the platform, he locked eyes with a gorgeous young woman. She was looking directly at him and came right straight to him and actually stopped him and began to flirt with him. The problem, no red rose. And so much as he would have liked to have stayed, he didn't. He excused himself from the conversation and kept searching. Lo and behold, down on the end of the platform, down toward the end of the train, was one woman who was standing next to her suitcase with a single red rose. There she was. Now, he did not know what she looked like. She certainly did not look what he expected. She was fairly short and had short-trimmed hair. She was wearing a brown wool skirt and suit. If I may use the word frumpy, let me use the word frumpy. It was not what he expected, but that was okay because this was the woman that he had read about in the book. This is the woman that had corresponded. And so he went up to her, gave her the book, stepped back and saluted, and introduced himself. And in return, he got a very confused look. And she said to him, "I'm not sure exactly how I'm supposed to respond. I'm not the person you're looking for. When I was getting off the train, a woman with this red rose came to me and asked me if I would do her a favor, and that was to stand here and wait for you to come with the book and give me the book. And then I'm supposed to give you the instructions to meet her in the train station coffee shop." And so he returned her confused look, took the rose, took the book, and went down the platform, up the stairs, into the station to find the coffee shop, all the while thinking, now how am I going to find her? Now how am I going to identify her? We don't know what each other looks like. That was answered immediately when he walked into the coffee shop. There she was in a booth, alone, the young woman who had stopped him on the platform. She was testing him. And so he sat down, and with a book and a rose on the table, those two began their relationship face to face. Face to face. I love that story. First of all, because it's true, and what an amazing romance. But second of all, it has become a parable to me that draws me deeper and deeper into my relationship with God. And this is what I want to invite you into, is deeper and deeper into that relationship. It is a relationship that says you can read about something in the book. You can write letters. You can converse. But not until you're face to face is the true power of the relationship there. This is what I love. Now, come with me into the Gospel of John. This amazing story of Doubting Thomas. That's the name that we have given this passage. Doubting Thomas. And on that day, this was the day of resurrection. The disciples were gathered all in one room, hiding because they were afraid of the Jewish leadership. Not the Jewish people, the Jewish leadership. And they knew full well that they could be the next one in line to be killed. And so the doors were locked, and into that room came Jesus. And he breathed on them and said, "Peace." Well, after he had gone, there was one disciple missing, Thomas. And Thomas came back, and they said to him, "Oh my gosh, you are not going to believe what just happened." And he said to them, "You better believe it. I am not going to believe what just happened. Not until I am in the room, and I touch his scars, and I put my hand on his side. Not until that moment will I believe." It was a week later. Now, that would be today. If last week was Easter, then today, the disciples were gathered again inside the room, and Jesus came to them and said, "Peace." Thomas, touch. Thomas, feel. And Thomas said, "That's okay, I believe." Now I want you to stop and think with me. The gospel according to John was written between the years 90 and 100. That's what we think. This would have been 60 to 70 years after the crucifixion of Christ. This would have been at least 20 to 25 years after Jerusalem had been obliterated by the Romans. If you were the author of the Gospel of John, you would have had a long time to think about what stories to include. I mean, think about this. If I asked you, could you please write a story, could you write a rendition, a historical account of the Korean War? Oh my goodness, there are thousands of stories out there. There are our Korean veterans all through our congregation and community. And you would interview and you would have hundreds, if not thousands, of stories, and you would have to pick very, very carefully what you were going to include. The same was exactly true. Exactly true when the Gospel of John was written. They chose these stories very particular. And it's not just because there's one meaning to them. There are many, many different meanings that are put into this. This book was so beautifully and expertly written. And they chose Doubting Thomas. Now today, what I get out of this story is the absolute power of face-to-face. For Thomas, it was absolutely crucial. This is one of the things that this author of John so many years ago wanted to give, was the power of being face to face with God. This was a time period when the Christians had been scattered around the Roman Empire, when the Jewish synagogues were scattered and thinned. This was a time and a place when these religions were scrambling for their survival. And one of the things that was absolutely crucial was they needed to tell people, you have got to be face to face with God. Face to face. This is what I'm inviting you into, is that moment of being face to face. This is why it's so important every single week for me to lift up the GPS, this Grow, Pray, and Study guide, and to say, I invite you in to the time with God. I invite you in to a moment of quietness when you can just be face to face. It's crucial. So today, I want to give you a little bit more on what to be in order to be face to face with God. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are and what you be in life. The first is simply this. If you would like to be face to face with God, and it's not that this happens right away. This takes time, sometimes years of simply living the faith. If you want to be face to face with God, you must be still. Be still. We live in a very chaotic world. We live in a fast-paced country. We live in a culture that keeps moving and moving and moving. But if you want to know God, you've got to stop. You've got to breathe, and you've got to be still. And then what? Well, you need to be open. If you've already decided how the world is going to be, and all you're looking for is just verification from God, no, that's not how it works. You've got to be open and asking God, now what? Now what do I do? Who am I? Be still. Be open. Be available. If you want to be face to face with God, you've got to be available to be able to say, well, God, what do you have for me now? What do you want me to do? Where should I go? What should I do? And God is moving and whispering and talking all the time. But we have to be still, and we have to be open, and we have to be available. And lastly, what I want to tell you is that we need to be in service. When we are open, when we are still, when we are available, God, we've allowed God to come in, but now we have to be ready for God to flow through, and that means that we need to be ready to be in service to others. This is exactly the importance of when we talk about the fifth Sunday that is coming this month. This is the importance of April 28th and 29th, is to say we as a church are open and we're available. God, put us to work, and we're going to be in service to the community. And we're going to be giving you so many opportunities in the next 3 weeks to be signing up and to finding out what are the projects and where will we be and how will we be and what will we be doing in service. Well, here's a phone call that I got yesterday. Let's see what you would do with this. I got a call from Marge. Marge is the director of the solar oven project here in the Dakotas. In the Dakotas, we have two shops that create the parts for solar ovens. Well, one of our shops has been put on hold. We can't use it because we're having problems with the ceiling. And what they need is a work crew to come up to help repair the ceiling. And so Marge called Spearfish, and she said, Scott, you got anybody? I don't know. I'm asking. So let me ask you, are you interested in going and fixing a ceiling so we can make solar ovens? Talk to me afterwards. But being in servant isn't just about that. It's about being in service in our families. It's about being in service wherever we are, in work, in school. It's about being in service, letting the love of God flow in us and through us so that we can be face to face. Face to face. This is the power of the invitation today. I want to invite you to be face to face with God. Come to God's ansikta in singing. And maybe the image of God simply standing and waiting for you, holding a red rose and waiting, maybe that image is helpful. But what we know is that the power of our faith is when we are face to face. May it be that you have that desire to come face to face with the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord of love, come face to face with us. Invite us into your presence as we invite you into ours. So, Lord, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.